Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just like the weather, it's one thing we all have in common as listeners or participants. I guess you are also participants on this radio show. Whether the host, the producers, or you as listeners, we all have in common that we're sports fans to some degree or another, for some length or another. We don't all have to have the same story, but it's what ties us together, right? And so as we were talking slash complaining about the weather 24 hours ago, here we are talking slash complaining. It's okay. There are teams, which means we can complain about them like our family. No one else can rip our family members, but of course we can rip our own family members. That's how it is. What's the team that you ride or die with? Even if it's mostly dying inside, the team that if you could only watch one for the next 5 years, you simply cannot live without. That's our hello Thursday morning. How are you? Good to have you on board. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. So find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can use the hashtag ride or die. In addition to that, producer Chris is retweeting a bunch if they're also going to our show account. And so we've heard from people all over the country, which is awesome. And there are some teams that only got one woman or man, one fan, riding or dying. I've seen two for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. I've only seen one for the Milwaukee Brewers. I've actually seen a handful, not more than five, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Right now, it feels like the split is baseball and football. The majority of you are ride or die baseball and football. I have seen a few hockey, which is cool, and one or two NBA, but the majority football and baseball. And if you've got a quick story to share, that's awesome too. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Who is your ride or die? The major stories in sports on this Thursday morning, well, Russell Westbrook, they dress similarly at times, I feel. Russell Westbrook has not forgotten how to be a troll. In fact, I think he may be energized by his new partnership with James Harden. And when James Harden goes off, which is what we're seeing a lot in this first month or so of the regular season, Westbrook does not miss the opportunity to troll the opposing defense. And even better, if it's a guy that he's got a history with, like Patrick Beverley. So a couple of funny things coming out of the Clippers-Rockets game on Thursday night. If you need a chuckle this morning, you have got to see the video of Doc Rivers screaming and yelling at the officials and his son Austin Rivers, who plays for the Rockets, standing off to the side as his dad is going ballistic and getting up the court where he's not supposed to be. Austin is signaling for the referees to tee up his dad. And then, after he gets teed up, Austin's signaling for him to get tossed. And then when he gets tossed, Austin's miming the, hey, call me. It was really funny. Producer Chris put the video up on our Twitter account, After Hours CBS, so check it out. It is guaranteed to make you laugh. Not only is that just funny because it's family dynamics, but the rivalry is budding between these two. Now, we would never look at the Clippers and the Rockets and say these two are rivals, but the way that we've had free agents here, free agents there, the trades that have taken place, there's definitely some saltiness there. There's definitely no love lost. And the two teams, especially with the disappearing act of the Golden State Warriors, these two teams, along with the Lakers, I mean, there are others. I'm not going to do an exhaustive list of the Western Conference. But this is the window. And the window may be extensive. If the Warriors don't ever get back to the form that they were. But for this season specifically, with the experience, with the veteran presence, obviously the stars that these two teams have, we may very well see this rivalry blossom a little bit more. But again, Russell Westbrook never misses the opportunity to troll a member of the other team. He's always talking smack, even better if it's somebody that he has a history with. So James Harden pours in 47 points, including 17 in the fourth quarter. The Clippers don't play well. They really didn't have a whole lot to offer on defense, or excuse me, on offense outside of Kawhi Leonard. And so after the Rockets are celebrating and everybody's laughing about Austin Rivers, along comes one Russell Westbrook, who decides this is the perfect opportunity to get in the face of Patrick Beverley.
Pat Bev trick y'all, man, like he playing defense. He don't guard nobody, man. He's just running around doing nothing. As you've seen, what happened, 47.
He just can't keep his mouth shut. He's like the Jalen Ramsey of the NBA. And he does definitely talk smack when he's out there as well. So Patrick Beverley, it's the eyes, right? When he's got the intense eyes. Not quite as spooky as the eyes of Adam Gase. But he's got those eyes. Like the, who was the outfielder for the San Francisco Giants? His name escapes me. Hunter Pence with the hair that was always flying. He had the eyes too. The intensity in the eyes. And so Patrick Beverley has this reputation for being an elite defensive player. But Russell Westbrook decided, ooh, maybe I'll just point out, he don't guard nobody, man, and I quote. It's just running around doing nothing. All that commotion to get 47. If you shimmy, you better be prepared to be shimmied on. So yeah, Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley, they've got a feud that dates back. We're not talking about one game. We're talking about going way back to Houston, Oklahoma City. And so now it's different, right? Because Beverley's on the Clippers and Westbrook is with the Rockets. But old habits die hard and Westbrook never forgets. He's like an elephant. He does not forget. And I don't think Patrick Beverley does either. So yeah, we had the Austin Rivers, Doc Rivers feud, quote unquote. But they exchanged pleasantries on Instagram afterwards. And it was fun to hear Doc talk about his son being the enemy. But first, though, he was focused on the officials being the enemy.
He said, because I was challenging their wrong decision. I guess. I don't know. There was a lot of gripe in all games, so my guess is they were tired of all of us. But when you make a mistake like that, you can't then throw the coach out. Like, you got to own up to your mistakes. We own up to ours. I just told you we didn't play good basketball. I got to do a better job with our offense. I'm owning up to it. They should own up to it as well.
I don't know if you noticed, but Austin was behind you, kind of telling the refs to tee you.
Yeah, well, he should. You know, he should. I didn't care. I saw him, actually.
Doc's one of my favorites. Like Steve Kerr, Coach Popovich is, we don't get to see his humor as much, but as intense as those two guys can be, they then will very often drop some self-deprecating humor after the fact. So yeah, check out the video on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or Google it. It's really easy to find. It is definitely going viral on this Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Interesting to hear from the owner, the majority owner, the CEO of the New York Jets, Christopher Johnson, and maybe getting out in front of, though there has been a bit of an outcry about Adam Gase, but getting out in front of even more of this freight train coming down the tracks that Adam Gase should be fired. So if you wanted Adam Gase to get the axe, whether partly through the Jets season, his first, or at the end, Christopher Johnson has another message for you. I don't think this is the dreaded vote of confidence. I think it's an actual vote of confidence.
I want to assure you there will be no changes in coaches here. Adam has the trust of this team. He has the trust of Sam. He has Joe's trust. He has my trust.
Sam being Sam Darnold, of course. And that was the number one reason why Adam Gase was brought into the Jets organization. Because he's supposed to be able to take Sam Darnold to the next level. And so Christopher Johnson is telling you Gase is still going to be the coach in 2020. Now, it's hard to evaluate him at this point. I know it's been a disappointing first half. It's hard to evaluate because Darnold had mono. Going back to the first game, they coughed up that 16-0 lead against the Bills. And then he was out for the next month plus. Luke Falk, by the way, is no longer in the NFL. And so how do you evaluate any coach when his most impactful player has his season derailed, or at least the first part of his season? But since then, of course, Darnold's come back. There was the big victory against the Cowboys. And then there was the notorious, infamous Seeing Ghosts game on Monday Night Football. What do you think got more attention? Darnold seeing ghosts or the black cat? I mean, it's not really a legit question, but just what do you think, guys? Did we talk more about the seeing ghosts? And I don't just mean us, but the sports world. Seeing ghosts or the black cat because of Kevin Harlan's call?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Probably Harlan, just in terms of like...
No, it's the cat that was the star.
Well, of course. I don't know. Probably that. The other thing was an interesting storyline, headline. But I think the cat caught more traction around the country, at least.
I feel like people who are not sports fans still would care about the cat. If you're not really a sports fan, you don't get the significance of Darnold being outed on national TV saying seeing ghosts. But I wonder in terms of just the clicks and the views. I do know that every time we mention the black cat, people ask me, hey, is there an update on the black cat? The black cat has a Twitter account. I don't know. I don't think it's the cat. I don't know how legit it is. But there's that. What did I talk about more? The seeing ghosts, Chris, or the black cat?
I think the black cat was like an overnight sensation. It became a rock star, and then it kind of faded a little
bit. No way, Matt. Life was looking for the cat days later.
I know, but I think the seeing ghosts thing is going to haunt, like, no pun intended there, Sam Darnold for the rest of his career.
That was just a slip of the tongue.
I legitimately didn't mean to do that. Huh. Yeah, that just happened.
Huh. I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel like there's so much going on in sports, eventually we forget. It might be a joke, but it's not as damaging as the butt fumble. That was way worse. Anyway, I digress. Back to Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, and it's been a rough few weeks for sure. They got the victory against the Giants, but it's been a roller coaster ride. And it's hard to evaluate Adam Gase when that position on the football field has been so nutso. How do you evaluate the work that he's put in with Sam Darnold? But Christopher Johnson is saying, hey, their relationship is the reason why he's here, and we still believe in that one.
It's the trust that I see. Seeing him work with Sam, just as a small portion of this question, is gives me a lot of confidence in that.
All right, so if you were looking for Adam Gase to get fired, maybe you wanted your team to hire Adam Gase. There's probably a few people out there that were hoping Gase would get fired so he could be hired by their team. Well, that's not going to happen unless you think it's the dreaded vote of confidence. But that doesn't strike me as a Christopher Johnson thing. I could be wrong, but don't look for it anytime soon. And again, it's not as though I believe Adam Gase is the next Bill Belichick. I'm not telling you that. But I don't think it's fair to evaluate him or the team considering what happened in the first year. And as long as the team is sticking with him and is still on board with him, that to me speaks volumes. If the team has not tuned him out and isn't rolling their eyes and blah, blah, whatever, that's far more important than anything that the media might be saying. It's always tough when you lose. Nobody likes to lose. People get impatient when you lose. But their expectations needed to be tempered once Darnold got the mono and was out for the time that he was. And obviously, Luke Falk wasn't supposed to be starting. Trevor Siemian got hurt, too, and it turned into a disaster at that position. Christopher Johnson, he sounds very patient. Who is your ride or die team? If you only had one team that you could watch, follow, ride or die with for the next 5 years, who would it be? And you absolutely cannot give me more than one team because I will not share your response. That's the whole point. One team. That's why it's so tough. 855-212-4227. Coming up, the Astros, they have a Cy Young. They may lose another Cy Young contender. But what does Major League Baseball do about this banging the trash can scandal? It sounds more fun when you talk about it like that. No, the sign-stealing mess that is now being regurgitated from 2017. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Pitch on the way. And that is drilled deep to left field. And you can kiss it goodbye. Into the Landry's Crawford boxes. Alex Bregman goes yard. And the Astros go up 2-1.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There have been a lot of highlights. Now, they didn't win the World Series again in 2019, but the Astros have had a lot of incredible moments, and their bats, along with their pitching, have provided some wild rides, some incredible entertainment, and of course, Game 7 of the World Series, a victory for them in Los Angeles going back to 2017. That also happens to be when the allegations of the sign stealing are kind of focused and centered. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Should Major League Baseball do something about it? I was really surprised by the results of the poll that we put up on our last show. More than 80% of you believe that sign stealing is common. With technology, with video enhancement, you believe it's prevalent in baseball. So should baseball do something about it? And how serious are these charges against the Astros? It was one of the questions that I asked baseball insider Scott Miller when he joined us in the second hour of the show from San Diego. Because I'm really intrigued by what baseball might do moving forward. So that's what I asked him. How serious will baseball take this?
Well, it's pretty serious from the standpoint that it's against the rules and it's pretty blatant and it's the kind of charge that if baseball investigates and finds a lot there, and there's been smoke there where the Astros are concerned and other teams. I mean, it's no secret. You know, that's why, you know, when you sit at home, you watch all these, especially playoff games, let alone regular season, you know, when there's meetings at the mound, you know, everybody covers their mouths with gloves.
Right.
It's why every time a playoff game is moving along at a fairly good pace, then there are base runners. Then all of a sudden, it seems like the pace grinds to a halt because with especially runners on second, but with runners on base, you know, every club in the playoff changes their signs, pitcher catcher signs, and a second set of signs, a third set of signs. I did a story on sign stealing going into the playoffs, talked to several clubs, and, you know, Colorado's catcher, Tony Walter, said the Rockies were not involved this year, but the last couple years. And like he said, they sometimes change their signs with the runner on first base in the middle of an at-bat if they thought that the other team was trying to steal their signs. So, you know, they have different sets of signs they would check off to. And, you know, like Tony Walter said, the Rockies, by the time you get through, you know, like 10 different sets of signs and different things they do, you know, they may have literally 100 signs during a game between the catcher and the pitcher. The Astros have been at the forefront of the analytics movement, of the computer movement, of the technological revolution in the game. There's been a lot of whispers throughout the game that, that the Astros have been doing this sort of thing. Obviously, the story came out the other day. This is while other people have written about the Astros being suspected of this and being accused of this, this was like, you know, among the first pieces to cite specific examples. You know, 2017 postseason, you know, and I wrote this in the sign stealing story I did going into this postseason. The 2017 postseason was known as the Wild Wild West throughout the game, especially throughout playoff teams, especially the 2017 World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers. That postseason, sign stealing seemed to peak. Also, digital technology, such as the Astros being accused of installing the Cameron center field that shot pictures of the catcher signs into the a computer just behind the Astros dugout. And for those listeners that might not be completely up to speed with the story, then the Astros would look at the camera, the computer in the signs, and if it was an off-speed pitch, somebody would bang a trash can real loud, and then the batter would hear the bang and know while he's in the batter's box, okay, this is going to be an off-speed pitch. And if he didn't hear a bang, he would know, okay, this is going to be a fastball. And, you know, it's pretty sophisticated, but, you know, a lot of people say, as I say, that within the game, internally, you talk to people, they'll say, yeah, that 2017 season, especially the 2017 postseason, wild, wild west.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report and MLB Network Radio. I went on to ask him about what possible penalties Major League Baseball could levy if, in fact, it decides to pursue this investigation against the Astros. And right now it appears that baseball will move forward. But if it's just one team, is this maybe a situation like bounty hunting? Bounty gate is what most people called it with the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton, Greg Williams, there were other teams that had bounties, quote unquote, were paying players extra or sweetening the pot if they would take an opposing offensive player out with a hard hit. And yet the NFL made Greg Williams and Sean Payton and the Saints the poster child for this. There's no way the Astros are the only team employing sign stealing. Now, are they the only team employing video technology? Most of you think no. It's funny, I have to say, one guy wrote back in response to our poll and said, weren't strikeouts at an all-time high in 2019? Apparently the sign stealing is not working. So I don't mind sign stealing. The idea of using video, though, that screams a little bit of Spygate. That to me is over the top, and baseball's made it clear that that crosses the line. So it'll be interesting to see how far baseball takes this. Good stuff from Scott Miller. He's really connected. He's been covering the sport a long time. So if you want to check out that conversation, we also talked about why Justin Verlander over Gerrit Cole for the American League Cy Young, the new managers, some of them, Carlos Beltran, as well as Gabe Kapler. And then I asked him about the market for some of these top flight pitchers like Cole and Steven Strasburg, and the money that they could demand really does narrow the field of teams that could actually make a play for them. So good stuff with Scott. Again, you can find that on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, or on our CBS Sports Radio website. All right, who's your ride or die team? If you need to laugh this morning, do you need to laugh this morning, Andrew Bogish?
Sure, always.
Okay, so two videos that we have for you. Number one, Austin Rivers demanding that his dad get teed up.
Amazing.
Last night. So good. But have you also seen the video of the chick at the Browns-Bills game last weekend? I suspect that at a tailgate...
First of all, she's a lady.
No. When you see the video, I don't think you would call her that.
Okay.
So you know the tradition of Bills fans leaping onto tables or
body
slamming
really
tables.
Yeah, really smart idea, yeah.
Very. So this Browns fan, I guess, they were doing a conga line and body slamming tables, and this one particular chick tries to do the elbow move like the WWE,
mm-hmm.
bounces off the table and hits the ground and rolls over. And the best part is the guy who's filming it is cackling. Like, it's just, you can't not laugh when you hear him laugh, but also it was an epic fail. So it's
I kind of wish there was a punishment on top of the pain for mistakes like that.
I don't even know if she was really liquored up, probably didn't feel a whole lot of pain, but the embarrassment of it. So if you could just please watch it with the sound up, it's on
okay.
our Twitter or on our Facebook page, because it's Thursday morning, we all need a laugh.
That's fair.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll get back to your calls, your tweets, and Facebook posts about your ride or die team. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We definitely get crazy about our teams, and it's fine. I think when it comes to sports, it's wildly acceptable. In fact, if you're a sports fan and you're tepid in your loyalty for your team, well, then we kind of feel like your roots don't run deep enough. So who is your ride or die? Some of your stories are awesome. We had a guy call up earlier. You might need to go back and listen to the podcast. I think his name was Irwin in Atlanta. And he told us this whole story about how his mom, who's 75 years old, is a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan. And that every single Saturday that the Bulldogs are playing, she is posted up in front of the TV with her Bud Light. And that every time something big happens in the game, she calls him, no matter where he is or what he's doing. And all of his friends know that's mom on the phone. It's good stuff. It's even better when your tradition, your ride or die tradition, has been passed down from someone in your family, and there's a story behind it. So thank you for sharing your stories. A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Producer Chris is retweeting some of your fun ride or die stories, and chick bouncing off a table video is guaranteed to make you howl. Okay, maybe not howl, but at least chortle. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So this time tomorrow, actually about 21 hours from now, we'll have the first game of Week 11 in the books. Good rivalry game between the Steelers and the Browns. And then we've got some other real cool matchups coming up in Week 11, like the Texans and the Ravens, like the return of Nick Foles, Jacksonville going on the road against Indianapolis. Are the Saints going to lose to a second straight below 500 NFC South team? But there's a lot to look forward to this weekend. Of course, the Patriots returning from their bye on the road at Philadelphia. We've got the Bears and the Rams Sunday Night Football, the much maligned offenses of both. Don't let the Bears' resurgence against the Lions' defense fool you. And then coming up on Monday Night Football, it's the Chiefs. And it's the Chiefs and it's the Chargers. That L.A., it still throws me off. 855-212-4227. Steve is listening in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. I love your show. I listen a lot while I'm commuting, and I've also done a lot of your podcasts while I was deployed.
Sweet.
And that's a great resource that we use.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your service, too.
Thank you. Ride or die is with the Ravens. I was 14 when the Colts left. It kind of broke my heart. I've been on board with the Ravens ever since then. We've had some pretty crazy ups and downs, but we do a lot while we're deployed, like watch parties where people be up, we'll be somewhere, it's like 3 a.m. and we're watching. And your other caller talked about Armed Forces Network. They do a great job of piping games in. Then you can have we do a lot of crazy bets that I really won't go into what the heck when we're deployed, but one of the funniest things was convincing a guy who was always, I don't want to know what the score was. He was a Cowboys fan. And we kind of convinced him that we let it slip that they had won when actually they had lost. And he walked around talking trash for like half an hour until we finally told him. But thanks for the show. I love it. Keep up the great work.
All right. Good to hear from you, Steve. Thanks so much. I don't know how many of you watch SEAL Team. It's a good show. I like it. But there was this moment where they are on a deployment. I don't remember exactly where they were. And one of the guys on the team is a huge Texas fan, so Texas football fan. And somehow he got his days mixed up. I think they had been out and their days kind of blended together. I think those of us who work overnights can understand that. And so he got his days wrong and he thought the Texas football game was coming up that afternoon. Well, the rest of his team all knew that the game had already happened and they knew the score. And so they were placing bets and he was taking all their bets because his ride or die is Texas. And they got him so good, of course, because they knew the score. car, and they essentially milked him dry. So that's what that reminds me of. I can imagine with the time change, sometimes not knowing, the games, you don't necessarily see them live. But I do hear Westwood One, who's one of our broadcast partners, talk about Armed Forces Radio. And it's great that our men and women who are deployed outside of the United States have access. And I will say this, too, on a personal note, it's not Armed Forces Radio, but I do hear from members of our military who are stationed overseas, sometimes manage to send us a tweet or post on our Facebook page to let us know they're following along, whether it's via the internet or whether it's through a podcast. And that just means so much to me. We're glad that you choose our show to have a slice of home. I mean, that blows me away, but I'm so glad that we could hear that from Steve. Thank you. Justin is listening in Kentucky. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, good morning. So I love your show. I look forward to listening to it every day. It means my day's over because I work third shift. But as far as the
there you go.
As far as the ride or die teams are, for me, it's easy. It wouldn't even have to be 5 years. It could be like lifetime for me. And they just actually lost the number one spot because they lost to EKU. I mean, who does that? But it's the Kentucky Wildcats. I've been to the games. I love them. I actually got to meet Ashley Judd there one day.
Well,
signed
bonus.
An autograph for me. But that was pretty cool.
I bet.
I would have probably never got to meet her otherwise. So it brings people closer together, you know.
For sure. Across all walks of life.
Absolutely, yeah. But that's my team. They could lose the EKU, 100 times over.
Oh.
It's still going to be, 90% of my shirts in my closet have UK on them. It's hard to find something that doesn't.
Well, you'd be dying more than riding if that happened.
Yeah, I would be. But with Calipari at the helm, we really don't have to worry about losing too much.
Right.
But I guess he does have his slip-ups like anyone else.
Of course.
With EKU, Jesus.
All right,
but
Justin, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. So a couple of your tweets. Rob says, the Seattle Seahawks, I've lived in the Pacific Northwest since 1991, and I covered them as a photographer through the horrible Tom Flores and Dennis Erickson years, then the amazing Mike Holmgren and Pete Carroll years. I can't even tell you the last time I missed a game. That's awesome. Being a photographer and having up close and personal views, whether you're riding or dying, that's awesome perspective. Let's see, here's another one. Dave says, I'm riding and dying with my Lions, even though they frustrate to the point of losing my mind. It's Barry Sanders' fault. Oh, because he got drafted there. Since 89, 30 years of torture and pride. It's like being in love with a... Oh, no, I'm not reading that part. It's essentially a roller coaster ride is what he's saying. Let's see. I could be wrong, but I think some guy sent me a picture of himself on the toilet. I'm not, Chris, you're not retweeting that one. No. I'm pretty sure that, okay, going to skip that one too. It's not like I'd want to describe it anyway. Wow, you guys are crazy when it comes to your ride or dies. Let's see, Jason says, can't live without my Toronto Maple Leafs, hashtag ride or die from Canada with love. Let's see, I just saw one that I really wanted to read. It was from here we go. Steven. Even though they left my hometown, my ride or die team is the Chargers. Oh, stake right through the heart. My father's been a fan since the 70s, and I grew up in San Diego and got to watch them too. 1994 was very special. I'm a Padres and Lakers fan also, but it's not even close. Yeah, that's how you know. When it's not even a debate, and you can just, by instinct or, emotionally, you can answer the question so quickly. How about this one from Norman? The Montana State Bobcats. Norman, I guarantee you are the only one who has mentioned the Montana State Bobcats. That makes you unique. That's awesome. Thomas on Twitter, it would be the Cleveland Indians since I've been a fan for 47 years. I've been through the highs and lows. Why would I not continue being an Indians fan? Yeah, if they haven't gotten rid of you now, well, they're not going to get rid of you ever. That's for sure. It's funny to kind of trace those roots back, though, right? If you don't think about them all the time, to remember why you are a fan or how you got so attached or how you completely went off the deep end. It's a good walk down memory lane. For those of you who missed it, I said this earlier. It took me a minute to decide. I narrowed it down to two pretty quickly. But I've decided that the Denver Broncos are my ride or die because I've been a fan since age 13 and because it's been such a wild roller coaster ride. If I was going to ditch the team, it would have been through those awful Super Bowl losses to the Redskins, to the Niners, to the Giants. I don't even remember the one against the Giants, but finally, the euphoria of them winning their first World Series, their first Super Bowl in 1998. I don't think I'd ever known that kind of joy in my life. And so that kind of cemented it. I was never leaving after that, but they did a lot to try to get rid of me before then, and I refused to go away. So sometimes it's just about the longevity of the relationship. Other times it's about the emotional component of the relationship. Sometimes it's about who introduced them to us or how we came to be a fan. But yeah, once you have that that emotional connection, it's hard to walk away. We know that for relationships, right? Edward says, the Alabama Crimson Tide, being born and raised in Mobile, Alabama, it's a way of life around here. Still heartbroken after the LSU game. Cannot live without the Tide. I'm stuck having to pull for Auburn to beat Georgia this weekend to aid Alabama's playoff hopes. So Edward on Facebook. Murray on Facebook, Toronto Maple Leafs, been a fan since I can remember. A few of you weighing in and saying the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I like it. Mel says on Facebook, the Cleveland Browns will ultimately be the death of me. I have but one wish when I die. Oy. That the Cleveland Browns are the pallbearers for my funeral. I just want them to let me down one more time. You guys are so creative in your misery. All right, one more. Ryan on Facebook, the Milwaukee Brewers. I've seen a lot of bad baseball. I remember roasting on the aluminum bleachers in 95-degree weather at County Stadium. Things have been looking up the last few years. Hey, what would the good times be without the bad times? Hashtag ride or die. That is absolutely my point. We do not appreciate the highs if we don't ever experience the lows. So you ride, and then you die, and then you wait until you fly again. Thanks so much for all of your tweets and your Facebook messages. Back tonight after football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.